You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So here it is, Merry Christmas. Welcome to the BBC Music Magazine Christmas Issue special podcast. I'm Oliver Condy, the magazine's editor, and with tinsel bedecked all over the studio today, I'm joined by the entire editorial team, managing editor Rebecca Franks, reviews editor Michael Beek, deputy editor Jeremy Pound, and editorial assistant Freya Parr.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're all wearing our various Christmas jumpers. I think, Michael, what have you got?
I've got a very tasteful festive jumper with some, reindeer and snowflakes on.
Excellent, excellent. Jeremy, what's your Christmas jumper?
Blue, and it's from M&S.
Blue, it's from M&S. Freya, I thought you were going to wear it. You have actually got some blue stars on your shirt.
Accidentally, yes. I've left all two of my Christmas jumpers at home. So
fabulous earrings, though.
Well, this is just an everyday look I threw together, really. But
excellent.
Incidentally festive.
And we have sherry, we have mince pies, we have crackers, so we're all ready to go. So it's on with the show.
The BBC Music Magazine.
So before we get started, I think it's time for a cracker. Who's going to pull a cracker? Freya, go on.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh.
So.
It's got a hat in there.
If there is a hat.
Who's going to wear the first hat?
Who's going to wear the first hat? Freya, you wear the first
Thank
hat.
Thank you so much.
Go on. You've also got a plastic frog.
That's generous.
Is there a joke
Are you
in
going
there?
To tell us a joke as well, Freya?
I am going to tell you a joke. Right. Hold on to your horses for this one. Why was the former conductor of the Berlin Phil always first off the plane?
That's why was the
I can't tell you because that's the joke that I was going to read too.
Was that?
Oh, no.
Because he was Carry-on luggage or something.
Ooh.
Oh, very good, Jeremy.
Oh,
because
very
he
nice.
Only had Carry-on luggage.
Oh! Oh!
10 points.
Very good. Very good. And I think to celebrate that wonderful joke, we're going to hear one of the BBC Music Magazine's commissioned carols from 2018. It's Dobrynka Tabakova's carol, Goodwill to Men and Peace on Earth, sung by the choir of the Queen's College, Oxford, and it's on this month's cover CD.
Behold, a loose is light of peace, which brightens on the eastern sky. Hark, hark, what sounds so loose our ears, so glory be to God on high. Goodwill to men and peace on earth.
That was the choir of the Queen's College, Oxford, performing Dobrynka Tabakova's Goodwill to Men and Peace on Earth, which we commissioned for the magazine in the 2018 magazine. So we're going to move on to our favourite Christmas memories. Michael, what do you remember musically about Christmas over the years?
You know, I always go to school. I always think of my time at primary school because there's that sort of lovely build-up, wasn't there? And you'd get the Christmas songs out and you'd learn them ready for the Christmas concert. And I think that's just a really warm memory for me. I was always a narrator as well in the concert. Always enjoyed that.
I was front end of the camel.
Better than the back end.
Jeremy, was that your most memorable Christmas?
No, it wasn't. I'm going to be very kind of staid and boring, though I am going to go back to school days because I was a chorister way back when in the early 80s, kind of long time ago. And we used to do, this was at New College, Oxford, and we used to do two big carol services, which were always packed out, because most Oxbridge colleges during evensong have about three people in the congregation. So it was rather nice to have a full chapel for a change. And we did one on Advent Sunday. And then the following one was the following week on, and that was the Christmas carol service. And then because it was university term time, you'd stop at about sort of 8th of December and then pack up for the year. It was rather nice, but they were very atmospheric.
Excellent. Rebecca?
Well, I was going to say as well, back to school, the carol service we used to do in the local church, and we used to have a little candlelit procession at the beginning, and we'd often alternate between Once in Royal, David City, and the Sussex Carol, which is quite hard to walk into if you ever tried. It's quite skipping along rather than walking. And we used to have these candles, and we used to worry about everyone's hair catching on fire. But that was a good memory.
Of course, playing with the wax when you were smaller as well, putting the bits of burnt wax into the flame.
Smaller, half still fun.
Freya, go on. What's your favourite?
Well, because I'm crass and lowbrow, mine is not nearly as chic and sophisticated as everyone else's. But we had a singing and dancing Christmas tree in my house called Douglas Fir, that whenever you walked past it, it used to sing Deck the Halls with flashing lights and dance movements.
That sounds really nice.
My granny has a dancing Santa Claus that you press the button and he sings a little song and he wiggles his hips.
Oh, we also have one of those, Jelly Santa, but it got a little bit mouldy one year.
They last a lot,
They do. My nan's got a dancing dog that does the same. Yeah. 15 years now it's been on the shelf.
Ticking along.
I'm glad I'm going to take things back to a rather more prosaic.
Please do.
I'm afraid. So I used to play the organ for a church back in London, St. Paul's Clapham. And I just remember doing the Christmas Eve service, the crib service in the afternoon, midnight mass, and then the Christmas Day service, obviously on Christmas morning. And then I used to drive back to my parents up in the Midlands, but rather festively, I would have a kip on the service station on the on the M5 on the way up. So that was most of my Christmas afternoon was spent sleeping in my Vauxhall Nova.
It's the glamour.
Service station on the M5.
I remember going to midnight mass in my student years. After we'd been to the Bowyer's Arms in Radley for the evening, and we'd all tootle over from the pub to the church. And my dad was in the church choir, and of course we used to go out for communion, which would mean walking straight past the choir and trying to pretend to my dad that I wasn't completely blotto.
Gently swaying.
And he always knew. He kind of grinned at me.
Excellent. So quick fire round. Favourite carol, Rebecca?
Oh, I've written down three. O Holy Night, Coventry Carol, and not technically a Christmas carol, but O Come Emmanuel for Advent.
Jeremy?
O Magnum Mysterium, the Morton Lauritsen setting for me.
Smashing.
For similar reasons to what Jeremy mentioned with the swaying in Midnight Mass, I saw three ships, because that's a good swaying motion.
O Holy Night, definitely.
Ah, lovely. Ah, and my favourite is Peter Warlock's Bethlehem Down. This is quite mournful carol. It's a bit downcast. Maybe you sort of sent me to sleep on the M5.
I don't know, you can't be a bit of sort of...
It's beautiful.
Downbeatness.
It's Christmas
beautiful.
Melancholy.
Yeah, Christmas melancholy,
and
exactly.
There is actually an incredible new recording of it on Christmas at St George's Windsor, recorded indeed by the choir of St George's Windsor, and we're going to hear the performance now.
I've got a joke by the looks of it. And have I got a hat anywhere?
Technically, I won that cracker.
thank you very much. Good. Right.
And
oh, brilliant. Excellent.
A water pistol, I think.
Good.
Well.
Okay. So, why did Beethoven refuse to write any quavers or minims?
I don't know. Why did he?
Because he was feeling crotchety.
very good joke.
I like it.
That was a homemade joke as well, wasn't it?
We had some candle after.
Oh, goodness me. Well, I think we need to take things up a level, don't we? So let's talk about this month's magazine.
This month's magazine.
So after a quick sip of sherry, just time to remind you about our website at classical-music.com. You can read about all the latest music happening, thousands of reviews, and a good deal more. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we have an iPad edition, so there's no excuse not to read us. And if you fancy subscribing to our print edition, we have a special discount for all you wonderful podcast listeners. You can now get 30% off every 6 issues, which takes the cost down to just £25.15. You can claim the offer by visiting buysubscriptions.com/musicpodcast. So, let's play a little bit more Messiah. So that was For Unto Us, A Child Is Born from Handel's Messiah. And the reason we're playing you that is because the Christmas issue is all about Handel's Messiah and the story of how Handel's Messiah became such a popular sort of adjunct to Christmas. I mean, it's not really Christmas without your local performance of Messiah. But it was really an Easter piece. So how did this oratorio become so sort of beloved by choirs up and down the country? Paul Riley takes a look at that. It's a rather fascinating piece, isn't it, Jeremy?
Yes, it is. And I think kind of one of the glories of Christmas every year is going to a performance of the Messiah. We've made a compilation, actually, of the various performances which you can hear around the country, both in the States, actually, and here. And particularly in the States, actually, everywhere seems to have a big performance of the Messiah. I've sung in a couple myself in the past, so it's nice to read all about its history. And
the big scale Messiahs are still all the rage. I mean, despite the fact that we all like one to a part Bach and one to a part sort of Brock music, everything's pared down, there's still this sense of the sort of Victorian big choir that people still like to treat the Messiah to.
And do we all stand during the Alleluia chorus, or is that sort of not done anymore?
Oh, some people do, don't they?
Some people do, yeah.
I take any opportunity to stand during a good sing song.
You're generally in the choir, so you would be standing in any case.
Well, quite.
And of course, a lot of them take place in churches. And we've also got a feature about parish church choirs this Christmas.
Yes, we have. So we've taken a look outside the cathedrals and Oxbridge chapels. And our writer, Richard Morrison, has headed off to talk to various directors around the UK about the kind of the highs and lows and the joys and the difficulties of running a parish choir and, obtaining these great musical standards, often on a shoestring budget. And maybe with dwindling congregations and looking at ways that can still exist, how it can flourish, where work has been done to reinvigorate that. And I thought it was a really interesting piece, actually, because it's something that sometimes gets a little bit lost when you see all the big cathedral choirs at Christmas and actually remembering that there is all this music making going on up and down the country.
Fantastic. I think we should follow that with a Christmas cracker. There's no other way.
Why not? Ewan
Freya. Go on, Michael.
Ewan? Who's Ewan? Ready? Okay. Oh, that's a good crack.
That was a very good one.
Why did the woodwind player go fishing?
Why did the woodwind player go fishing?
I don't know.
Because he wanted to catch a bass soon.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, very good. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, that's my favourite so far. Oh, great. Oh, nice.
Dear me. Start to get very warm.
Freya, you've got to tell us about the Bar Humbug feature in the magazine.
Yes. So in sort of spirit of all things Scrooge, we spoke to some musicians this month about their concert hall gripes. So obviously audience members are quite easily irritated with rustling sweet wrappers and coughing and phones, blah, 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 blah. But you often think there's kind of a wall between the stage and the audience and often that, you know, they're doing their bits on stage and aren't distracted, but actually we kind of showed in this piece that there's not really that wall between the stage and the performance. Actually, they're just as distracted as we might be. So we spoke to a whole host of people, Julian Bliss, Lucy Schaufer, Stephen Isselis, about all the things that kind of got a bee in their bonnet when they were performing, with some very entertaining anecdotes. And we also named some of ours. Should we revisit some of our concert hall miseries?
Yes. Shall I begin?
Yes.
Intervals. I hate intervals.
Yeah.
Good for a wee, but it's just annoying, isn't it?
And I went to something recently in London, and it was an opera, and they put two intervals in, one after 35 minutes. And it meant that, and as well, anyone coming from outside London it makes it really difficult because it goes on forever.
The most ludicrous intervals are the ones at the BBC proms. The trouble is that it's such a bit vast building that by the time everyone has tuned out, come back in again, it takes ages to get up the stairs again.
Yes,
there's absolutely no point.
That's very true.
Particularly the ushers getting slowly really frantic trying to get everyone back in their seats.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think my big bugbear is boring programme notes. Programme notes that not just boring, but are sort of long and too involved, and so people are buried in the program booklets while the performances are taking place. So that's and also singers' biographies. All they do is name every single role they've done since time immemorial. And they're just show offs for agents who might be in the audience.
Yes, who cares that someone played Violetta in La Monnaie in 1984?
Well, exactly. Or Rodelinda in Australia, in Tasmania, or whatever it is. Exactly. So go on, Freya. What's your big bugbear?
Well, mine is kind of easily irritated audience members.
Yay, that's
it's me.
Sorry.
No, I think it's just it's the tutting, usually. The dark looks, if God forbid, you came in ever so slightly late and apologised or had to lean over to get your bag. I mean, yeah, it's annoying having noises, but everyone just needs to be a bit more civil, I think.
Absolutely. I once got asked to stop swaying in my seat by a fellow audience member.
See? Well, let a man sway.
I got told off for writing too loudly.
Yeah.
Your quill.
I mean, that was the thing. Yeah.
It was weird of you to take a typewriter to that.
But normal things that are generally irritating are even more irritating in the concert hall. Mm. The rustling of the sweets, the heavy breather, the sort of the tapping of the toes, all these things
I just ignore
in everyday life.
Yeah. Hasn't invented a non-rustling cough? Because if you're going to cough, you're going to make a noise, and then you always have to rustle the cough sweet. Why can't someone invent a...
Didn't Radio 3 do that once? They sort of branded some their own sweets for you to... open in concerts, rappers were sort of silent rappers.
But you can get those travel ones, can't you, in the tin. You can open the tin and then obviously blow icing sugar on everyone. But yes, I mean, that would be the simplest thing, wouldn't it?
Just don't rattle the tin.
Yeah. Have we done your bugbear?
No, mine's very contradictory. I think the bugbear that I've put in the magazine was that I don't like people chewing gum and eating in concerts. That kind of drives me a little bit.
I think it's fair enough.
Yeah. That's not big for me.
Mine is people who leave at the end without applauding. Now, I'm not buying into the, they must catch the last train home nonsense
here. They must catch the last train home.
Yeah,
sometimes they do.
Sometimes
Bristol, goodness.
Yeah, recently I went to a concert in the middle of the Cotswolds. There was no public transport servicing this place, and the roads were completely empty, and yet you still had people dashing out as soon as the pianist had finished, and he was brilliant. Yeah. And I thought, why not? If you stayed for an hour and a half to listen to this fantastic concert, of course you can last another 2 minutes just to go,
relieving the babysitter?
Oh, come on. It's the babysitter kind of charging £5 a minute overtime or something.
But then also sometimes the unnecessary encore I find equally annoying.
Well, that's true.
Also, ambitious programmes that actually give you an end time and then massively overrun.
Well, that's it. Especially if you're travelling back to Bristol, let's say, and you're in a concert. Getting to 10:30 and you've got the 11 o'clock train. And you're like,
Birmingham,
it
was 40 minutes longer than it had said. And
yes.
What's the world's longest curtain call? I mean, didn't Pavarotti have to do about 25 returns to the stage?
And there wasn't kind of one or two pianists who used to do sort of 8 or 9 encores.
Yes, that's got to cheese you off a bit, hasn't it? And by the time Horovitz got to tram arrive for the 14th time,
we've got quite a few gripes, haven't we?
We are a miserable bunch. Yeah.
So let's relax to another carol that we commissioned, this time back in 2017 by the composer Toby Young. And this is The Owl, and it's also on this month's cover disc.
In the springtime of solid winter,
so that was the choir of the Queen's College Oxford performing Toby Young's The Owl, which we commissioned a couple of years ago for the magazine. We've commissioned another one this year. It's by Owen Park, and it's called Here is the Little Door, setting words by the poet Francis Chesterton. And it's a gorgeous poem, sort of Halsean, quite sort of slow-moving. We think it's going to be perfect for choirs across the land, indeed around the world, for you to include in either this year's Christmas concerts and carol services, or indeed next year, or indeed the years after. So please do feel free to photocopy the carol. Please feel free to download the PDF, which will be on our website, and get rehearsing and get performing. And we wish you the best of luck, and we'd very much like you to send in your audio recordings or even your YouTube recordings to music@classical-music.com, and we'll load the very best onto our website and onto our YouTube channel. Now for time for another cracker. Oh yes. Here's your a good crack there. There you go. Here's your hat. And your toy.
Thank you. What toy have you got?
You've got a lobster.
Wow.
Did I get a toy? That is what I've got.
You did,
you got the water pistol.
Quite useful. I can use that in the office.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, this was my backup joke, because my original joke, Rebecca. It's
gone. You mean it didn't come out of your cracker?
Sorry, it did. What do you get when you drop a piano down a mine shaft?
Ooh.
I did know this one. A minor something.
A flat minor.
Very good.
Very good.
Very homicidal.
Yes, apologies, all minors.
And now it's indeed time for First Listen. Before we kick off with sharing three of our favourite Christmas and Advent recordings, we'd like to tell you how you can get involved in sharing your musical discoveries with your fellow readers. Just send us what you've been listening to music@classical-music.com, and you could be in with a chance of being published on our Music to My Ears page. So let's listen to the first of our chosen Christmas recordings. So that was Finnissy's Telling, and that was performed by the Choir of St George's Windsor on their new recording on the Hyperion label, Christmas with St George's Windsor. It's absolutely gorgeous, static little carol, isn't it? I mean, it just moves beautifully, flows beautifully.
Yes, the whole programme is absolutely gorgeous, I have to say. It's really well chosen. There's one or two vaguely familiar carols in here, but only a couple. But the rest of it is so well put together. So they have three sections. We begin with Advent, then we move on to Christmas, and then Epiphany at the end. And it ranges all the way from the likes of Byrd and Gibbons in Renaissance England through to the current day. It's actually, a lot of it is fairly sort of slow paced, but none the worse for that. It's a very sort of thoughtful disc, and all very, very beautifully sung as well. Highly recommended.
It is. It's our Christmas choice this month as well.
I actually went to Evensong there recently, and it's a really beautiful and very interesting chapel. I hadn't quite appreciated the sort of the history of it, and that Henry VIII is buried there, Charles I, Jane Seymour, and there's this amazing the oriel window which Henry VIII created so Catherine of Aragon could sit and watch the services inside, because she wasn't allowed in the chapel. These flags as well for the different Knights of the Garters. Mm. So there are And there's actually a vacancy for one of those, so there are 24 of them at the moment. So it's a really fascinating place to go and visit.
I'm still boycotting the place after I wasn't invited to the royal wedding last year. I'm quite how I was left off the guest list.
That was an oversight, a major
oversight.
Although, joking apart, in the CD booklet it says you can public can attend services there. You have to go to the website and find the service and
royal weddings included.
Probably not.
No,
really, but
worth a shot.
Go. Like any regular chapel across country, of course, isn't it? The second one we got is called Advent Carols from King's College London, as you might expect. It's a collection of Advent carols from King's College London. And it's on the Delphian label, and we're going to listen to Cecilia McDowell's Advent Moon.
Moon.
So I'm just swallowing a bit of mince pie very hastily. That was Joseph Fort conducting the choir of King's College London in Cecilia McDowell's Advent Moon, beautiful piece on a new collection of carols on the Delphian label called Advent Carols from King's College London. And our final choice is Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. How could we have a choice without Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker? The State Academic Symphony Orchestra of Russia, conducted by Vladimir Zhirovsky. Go on, Freya, tell us why this is so wonderful.
So this was a live recording that they did earlier this year from the Moscow Tchaikovsky Conservatory in Russia. That's quite hard to say after half a glass of sherry. So it doesn't have that kind of super clean studio finish, but the technique throughout is so precise and it's just bang on the mark. And when I was listening to it and I was sort of scribbling notes, I think I wrote, very clean, very precise, very Russian. Fabulous. Because it's really glorious in parts. And we're going to listen to just an extract from the overture, actually, that kicks the whole thing off. That was the overture to the Nutcracker, recorded by the State Academic Symphony Orchestra of Russia under Vladimir Zhirovsky, and that was recorded on pentatone.
And that's out now. And I think before we have the final cracker and we bid you farewell, we're going to all reveal what we're doing for Christmas this year. Jeremy.
My musical celebrations this year for Christmas are going to involve, hopefully, going to a carol service at Tewkesbury Abbey, which is one of my favourite buildings and has a wonderful choir.
Excellent. Rebecca.
Hopefully some singing and going to a local Bristol group for a charity thing with a friend, and also singing with our office choir, which Jeremy will be singing with too.
Oh, yeah.
The lovely carols.
God forbid.
That one. That's going to be in our Christmas party, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yes. Yes. There's nothing we can't ruin.
Michael, you're not in the choir, are you?
I'm not in the choir, but I will probably go and see a brass band because I like a brass band.
Oh, lovely.
Where? Anyone in particular?
Salvation Army, probably.
Mm. Yeah. Lovely.
I had a very good one on the pier at Weston-super-Mare recently.
A bit yeah, chilly, though.
I think that's quite nice, isn't it, when you're cold and the brass band's
playing. Yeah, if you get yourself a mulled wine.
Yes.
I am singing in a concert at Tintersfield, a National Trust property just out of Bristol. And I'll be doing the usual Midnight Mass merriment and going to St. Albans Cathedral on Christmas Day.
Lovely. The chapel at Tintersfield's lovely, isn't it? Beautiful.
Oh, so nice.
Really,
it's really,
really
lovely.
Place. Yes, I've sung in a concert there myself.
Small and intimate and lovely.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really nice. And I'm going to be singing with my choir, Exultate Singers, in St. James's Priory, which is this gorgeous Norman priory just by the bus station of all places.
Oh, it is, isn't it? It's lovely.
It was restored. I mean, it was left derelict for many, many, many years, and then a National Lottery grant gave it a new lease of life. It's now used as a centre for rehabilitating drug addicts and alcoholics, and now it's also used as a concert venue. It's got such a fine acoustic. The Normans knew all about architectural proportions, so come and hear it. I forget the date, but Google it. Exultate, St. James's Priory. Fantastic. Now, I'm the only one who hasn't said a joke yet, so who'd like to pull my cracker?
Off you go. Off you go, Rebecca. You're next.
Ready.
Climax. There we go. I haven't put my hat on yet.
Uncle Climax.
I've got to get my I've got a comb. I've got a comb.
It's a ruler and a comb.
It's a ruler and a comb.
I haven't got any hair.
Stencils. And I've got my joke. Here we go. So did you hear about the jazz drummer whose daughters were all called the same name?
Anna 1, Anna 2, Anna 3, Anna 4.
Spectacular note to end, isn't it?
Very good joke. Happy Christmas.
And on that slightly disappointing note, it's time to end the Christmas issue podcast. We do hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you on a rather more sober note, perhaps, for the January issue. So it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye, and happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The BBC Music Magazine.